This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Gazelle Full Circle Resale. Now accepting like-new natural fiber clothing, jewelry, accessories, and curios. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont and can be reached at 503-284-4192.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
Just a few days ago, we documented an attack which took place last Wednesday on the village of Blida, in which the Israelis used cluster munitions.
While Human Rights Watch is charging Israel with using cluster bombs in Lebanon, the Lebanese president says Israel's using the internationally banned weapon white phosphorus against Lebanese civilians. Dar Jamal reports from the hospitals of Beirut. Then in a U.S. broadcast exclusive, we bring you a wry Italian television documentary, Star Wars in Iraq, on the U.S. military's use of laser and other experimental weapons.
And now, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you have a completely new physical principle being applied in killing people, in which they don't know that they're being killed because their skin and body is being heated by high-power microwaves, or they are being shot at by a laser, which would have an instantaneous effect.
And an Iranian dissident takes on Tehran and Washington. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Nations has launched an emergency appeal for the international community to help the people of Lebanon. This comes as Israel's bombardment of the country enters its 14th day. UN Emergency Relief Coordinator Jan Eglin said $150 million is urgently needed.
There is an explosive escalation, really, in the suffering of the civilian population. I would estimate there to be tens of thousands of new displaced and refugees every day now. All the schools in the entire country are now filling up, like this school, with desperate people who are fleeing from the bombardments. Has to stop.
The U.S. vowed to give $30 million, the aid package to help the Lebanese people, as a fraction of the $2.3 billion the U.S. gives Israel in military aid each year. The United Nations is warning the humanitarian situation in Lebanon will only worsen as the fighting continues. About 800,000 people have already been forced to flee their homes. 150,000 Lebanese residents have left for Syria. Food, water, fuel, and medical supplies are running out in parts of the country. The UN said entire communities have been cut off from the world because Israel has systematically destroyed the country's networks of roads and bridges. Meanwhile, Peter Bookert of Human Rights Watch has told Democracy Now! He has uncovered evidence Israel's fired cluster bombs at civilian populations last week in the Lebanese village of Blida.
In this one attack that we documented, one elderly woman was killed and 12 people were wounded from one family, including seven children. The husband of the family lost both of his legs, and I interviewed him in the hospital 2 days ago. So we're very concerned that Israel is using these indiscriminate weapons, cluster bombs, in populated areas is simply not acceptable and is a violation of the Geneva Conventions because these are indiscriminate and very, very dangerous weapons.
Peter Bookert of Human Rights Watch says the U.S. provided Israel with the cluster bombs in the past, but the ones used last week might have been made in Israel. We'll have more from that interview after headlines. On the diplomatic front, the United States is coming under increasing criticism for refusing to back an immediate ceasefire. Earlier today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met in Jerusalem with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. He vowed the attacks will continue.
Israel is determined to carry on the fight against Hezbollah. We'll reach out for them, we'll stop them, and we will not hesitate to take the most severe measures against those who are aiming thousands of rockets and missiles against innocent civilians for one purpose, to kill them.
Rice also met with top Lebanese officials in Beirut on Monday, but they failed to reach an agreement. Secretary of State Rice said there would be no ceasefire unless Hezbollah released two captured Israeli soldiers and withdrew its forces approximately 30 miles from the border. The Lebanese government rejected the offer, saying they wanted a two-step process. First, an immediate ceasefire and negotiations for a prisoner swap, and then discussions to work out a solution to the situation in South Lebanon. Speaking in Israel, Condoleezza Rice dismissed calls for an immediate ceasefire.
If we have learned anything, it is that any peace is going to have to be based on enduring principles and not on temporary solutions. We will talk about how to get to an enduring cessation of violence, how to deal with the significant humanitarian problems that are currently facing the people of Lebanon.
Rice also suggested the United States and Israel is in the process of trying to reshape the Middle East.
We need always to be cognizant of and looking to what kind of Middle East we are trying to build. It is time for a new Middle East. It is time to say to those who do not want a different kind of Middle East that we will prevail, they will not. Thank you.
Meanwhile, at the United Nations, Syrian Ambassador Bashar Jaffe criticized the U.S. for failing to help end the bloodshed.
The American position now bypasses the Israeli position by its intransigence. So when Kofi Annan, for instance, calls for a ceasefire, the American ambassador to the UN says no. When the French calls for the establishment of a humanitarian corridor, the American delegate says no. When Kofi Annan says Syria and Iran should be involved in the negotiations for finding out a settlement of what's going on, Mr. Bush says no. There is a paradox. In my own opinion, the American diplomacy is isolating itself.
Bashar Jaffe is Syria's ambassador to the United Nations. The Guardian newspaper of London's reporting U.S., European, Israeli, and Arab leaders are expected to agree in Rome tomorrow on creating a coalition force to go into southern Lebanon under the banner of the United Nations to help end hostilities. But it remains unclear what countries will provide troops. CNN is saying that the United States will not provide troops. As discussions on the diplomatic front go on, Israel's assault on Lebanon continues. On Monday, Israeli Army Chief of Staff Dan Chalutz warned that Israel would bomb 10 buildings in South Beirut every time Hezbollah fires another missile into Israel. The Israeli Air Force struck about 70 targets across the country. Four UN peacekeepers were wounded in one of the attacks. Early this morning, an Israeli missile hit a house in the town of Nabatea, killing seven people. The death toll in Lebanon stands at about 400. Intense ground battles are also continuing between Israeli troops and Hezbollah fighters in southern Lebanon. Hezbollah also fired more than 100 rockets into northern Israel. 13 Israelis were injured. Meanwhile, in Gaza, Israeli shells killed five people. Hospital officials said the dead include a 60-year-old grandmother, her 11-year-old grandson, and a 4-year-old girl. Palestinians have called for a general strike and a day of rage today to protest Condoleezza Rice's visit to the region. Palestinian activist Omar Asaf said, quote, she is responsible for the killing of children in Lebanon and Gaza. She, her administration, and her policies are not welcome here. In other news, the latest round of trade negotiations at the World Trade Organization have failed. Analysts say this marks a serious blow to the Bush administration's international economic agenda. The French farmer and anti-corporate globalization activist José Bové hailed the news.
I think this failure first represents the failure of a system. The World Trade Organization has tried to integrate all human activities, including agriculture. But during the 20 years that agriculture has been integrated into global trade negotiations, they failed every time because the majority of the world's people refuse the idea that agriculture should be integrated as a commodity. The second reason of this failure is the selfishness of rich countries. The United States and European Union want to open southern countries' markets in the interests of their multinational corporations. This doesn't work anymore.
French farmer José Bové. In Washington, President Bush is scheduled to meet today with Iraqi Prime Minister Nour al-Maliki. On Monday, al-Maliki warned Israel's actions in Lebanon will lead to further extremism in the Middle East. In Afghanistan, a senior British military commander says the country is, quote, close to anarchy. The warning comes from Lieutenant General David Richards, the head of NATO's International Security Force in Afghanistan. He said feuding foreign agencies and unethical private security companies have been compounding problems caused by local corruption. On Monday, hundreds of Taliban fighters attacked a government building in western Afghanistan. Three police officers were killed. Seven people were wounded. A new report from Human Rights Watch has determined U.S. forces are still abusing prisoners in Iraq as part of their standard operating procedure. The report was based in part on interviews with U.S. soldiers. Soldiers reported prisoners at one camp were regularly stripped naked and subjected to beatings, forced exercises, severe sleep deprivation, and various forms of degrading and humiliating treatment. On Capitol Hill, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee will be holding hearings on Thursday on the nomination of U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. Last year, President Bush gave Bolton a recess appointment after he failed to win enough support in the Senate. Democrats are expected to fight the nomination, but one of Bolton's top critics in the Republican Party, Senator George Voinovich of Ohio, says he will now support Bolton. In economic news, the New York Times has revealed the federal government is moving to eliminate the jobs of nearly half the lawyers at the Internal Revenue Service who audit tax returns of some of the wealthiest Americans. The cuts are specifically focused on estate tax lawyers, those who audit the taxes of the wealthy when they transfer their fortunes to their children and others. One veteran IRS estate tax lawyer called the job cuts a backdoor way for the White House to repeal the estate tax, even though the Bush administration doesn't have the support of Congress. In other news from Capitol Hill, the Senate is expected to vote today on a bill that would make it illegal for anyone to accompany a young woman across state lines for an abortion without notifying her parents. The bill is called the Child Custody Protection Act. Under the bill, a grandparent, a clergy member, or relative could face criminal charges for helping a young woman get an abortion. And in Ireland, five Catholic peace activists have been acquitted of damaging a U.S. fighter plane on its way to Iraq. The activists, known as the Pit Stop Plowshares, entered into Shannon Airport 3 years ago and used household hammers to damage a U.S. Navy logistics plane. They argued they had a lawful excuse for doing so, as they honestly believed they were acting to protect lives and property in Iraq. The activists faced up to 10 years in prison. Shannon Airport has been the center of anti-war protests in Ireland. On average, over 1,000 U.S. troops pass through the airport each day. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.